through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And today we have in studio with us Bob Yurichuk, all the way from Canada, to talk about his passion, his life, his book, and his commitment to making life better on this planet. And in his words, this is what he says.
For the past 20 years, I'm constantly improving and cultivating human potential. He has inspired thousands, if not millions, on the global level by educating and empowering people and organizations to significantly increase their performance capability while constantly improving the quality of their lives and the lives of others. Bob is an international professional speaker, trainer, and best-selling author. And if you want one of his books, he has three books available right now. One is called The Velocity of Selling, How to Attract, Engage, and Empower Buyers to Buy. One is Motivate Your Team in 30 Days. That sounds really cool. And then he has the third book, and Discipline for Life. Actually, Discipline for Life is probably my favorite because everybody needs discipline, but I think I'm one that needs a little bit more than most. He was recently awarded the Brand Personality Award of 2013 as an international professional speaker, the Velocity Selling Specialist Trainer and Author by the brand Laureate. Bob is a founder of the international firm called Bob Yurichuk Management, Inc. He's a certified master trainer, which is called a CMT, a sales professional, a CSP, and a social entrepreneur. And I could probably go on for hours and hours telling you about Bob, but I would like to invite Bob into the studio. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bob Yurichuk. I'm really excited to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, Tippy, and thank you for having me.
And I really would like to start with the fact that we have some great news for everybody, because I found out yesterday what the word great stands for, Bob, and actually it changed my entire day. So why don't we tell everyone, what does great mean, really?
Well, if it's okay, Tippy, I'd like to give a little story around it. I travel a lot, and I've used Singapore and Dubai as my hubs for the last 20 years. And then one day I was in Dubai having breakfast, and I saw a gentleman walking towards me, and he had the longest face I've ever seen in my life. And I go, oh, my God, how can I help this guy have a better day? And I wasn't thinking, but as he came by, I just caught his eye, and I said, good morning. He replied to me, good morning. I said, how are you today? And he says, just fine. And I looked at him. I said, just fine? He goes, yeah, I'm just fine. How are you? I said, I'm absolutely fantastic. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be a great day. And he picks up his finger and does a little twirl and goes, whoopee, why is it going to be a great day? I said, do you understand what the word great means? He says, no, tell me. I said, G-R-E-A-T, getting really excited about today. He says, that's interesting. Why are you excited about today? I got out of my chair and stood up, and I said, because I woke up this morning. I could see, I could walk, I could talk, I got things to do. And you know what? One of us may not be here tomorrow, so shouldn't we make today the greatest day of our life? He looked at me, he says, I like your attitude. Can I join you? I said, please do. Long story short, it turned out he just laid off 500 people in his organization. Most of them were friends and stuff, so I could understand why he was down. But in the end of it all, I managed to pick him up by just that simple expression. Because let's face it, when someone asks you, how are you? You have the freedom to say whatever you want. You can say, just fine. Well, your day is going to be just fine. If you start by saying great each and every day and keep saying, even if you're not feeling great, your mind will be converted into feeling great, and it'll make the biggest difference. And great is really waking up with an attitude of gratitude, thankful that you've got another day, and you're not in a hospital or in a wheelchair or handicapped or ill. You know, there's so many things to could surround that word, but we're going to have a great show this morning, Tippi.
Especially if you have been in the hospital, and so you can appreciate it even more. But even if you haven't been in the hospital, being grateful that you're not is great. So at that moment when you were talking to that guy, did that just come to you, or was it something you've been thinking about before?
I had the definition before. You know, I play a lot with words, and I use words as messages. I you know, like fail, F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. You know, I have so many acronyms and so many things, but they just fly out of me at times. And you know, I sometimes I work them and I create my own, and sometimes I read them and I see them. I'm not taking full responsibility of them all, but it's just something I enjoy. I enjoy quotes, and I enjoy the hidden messages behind certain words. And in that particular case, I just saw him. I didn't know what I was reacting to him saying, just fine. And that triggered it, and that went into it. But the where it starts is, you know, a big part of my life is, you know, waking up each and every morning and being grateful. And I start my day with that, and we'll get into that as another story a little later. But it's about giving back. And when we give back, it doesn't have to be financially all the time. It's giving back just by putting a smile on someone's face. And I think that's the part that people miss, is you have opportunities all day long to make somebody feel better, to build their self-esteem, to build their confidence. And sometimes we're just too shy to say anything, or we don't take those risks to improve somebody's quality of life. And I go out of my way a lot of times just to, you know, if I see someone that's wearing something different or unique or outstanding, why not tell them and you know, build their confidence as well. So I think paying compliments and recognizing people for the good they do are the foundation and basics, because the number one motivating factor in the workplace is recognition and praise. And so why don't we work in an environment of recognition and praise? Well, there was one time, another story. But if you want, I'll finish this one. Recognition and praise is by far the most powerful thing. And I wrote an article on this one in HR. It was published in HR magazines all over the world. The number one motivating factor is praise and recognition. Why don't we praise and recognize ourselves? And the thing is we never can accept our first answer. We have to question our answers and go deep. And I questioned my answers, and I came to the truth. Well, what do we do to ourselves all day? Do we recognize ourselves and praise ourselves, or do we criticize ourselves? And if you criticize yourself, well, what have you got inside to give away? Criticism. So we have to learn to turn that and start by recognizing ourselves for the good things that we do. And as we feel good about ourselves, we can start to feel good and see the good in others and praise them accordingly.
Wow. Well, like in 2.5 minutes, you've said enough things that I can talk about for 2.5 years.
But, I'm good for that.
But I do. I love stories. I definitely love stories. So every story is great. But I do have a quick question about Dubai and Singapore. And because you love words and you love to talk so much, and I find I travel a lot. I don't think there's many points in this planet that I haven't touched yet. and that I want to.
Good for you.
But one of the challenges I have, because I love language, I love talking, I love speaking, and I love writing, is the language barrier, where I have to sit and start learning how to say the same thing in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
And so when I see someone, let's say, walking down the street, and I'm in Dubai, which is one place I haven't been to, and they don't talk back. So how do you recognize someone? Say, hey, this guy's going to respond to me in English, or do you speak their local language?
No, I don't speak the local languages. And I think what I do is I do show a lot of respect for people of all races, all nationalities, religions, colors. You know, I mean, I'm an equal. We're all equal human beings, and I treat and show everybody that respect. Now, depending on where you are, Dubai is not a typical Middle Eastern country. It's 90% of the people there are from other countries. Mm-hmm. Only 10% are locals. So it's really a metropolitan city, and the chances of speaking English, actually the chances of, you know, let's put it this way, I think English is probably the most spoken language in the world. Maybe Spanish might be pretty close as well, but I think, you know, most cases I've never had an issue, and if I have, it's, you know, you can tell people don't understand and let it be. But I can say that in my 20 years of travel, I've only been, I would say, translated probably three times. Once in Indonesia, where I was translated into Bahasa Indonesia, and that was live translation, or live meaning, I would say, talk for 2 minutes. The guy would talk for 2 minutes. And then, of course, in Quebec, Canada, a few times from English to French. But most of the times, most of my talks, I can remember once I was in Bern, Switzerland. There I was translated into something like 75 different languages. But most of the times I find I've been pretty safe in speaking English and getting away with it. But I think a big part of it is your body speaks and your passion speaks and your heart speaks. And when you use body language and passion and feel for people, you connect. And they may not fully understand what you're saying, but they get the basic message.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I when I was in Japan, I had a boyfriend that didn't speak a word of English, and we connected pretty good.
Yeah.
With all kinds, with our hands and arms, and we communicated. It wasn't easy, but it was fun. So, I can definitely see that happening. So I want to talk a little bit about yourself. And you said that you have a morning routine of what you do first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting, because I think the way you wake up in the morning, it really sets your entire day.
Totally.
So what's the magic that you touch in the morning?
Well, it goes back a little bit when I was starting about 20 years ago, because prior to that I was in the corporate world. But I used to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and have a cup of coffee. And then I realized one day that I was most productive in the morning. Like you, Tippi, yourself, are you more productive morning, day, or night? What would be your most productive time?
Yeah, it's probably first thing in the morning. Not just more productive, but more energetic, more...
Yeah.
It's just like a rebirth. Every day it's like a new day is born, a new opportunity to fix everything that you messed up. A new opportunity for everything, absolutely.
Exactly. And I'm similar. I'm a morning person, but I've come across people that are night people and day people. And I ask the question, what would happen if you took 1 hour of your most productive time and dedicated it to the most important person in the world? And by the way, I should ask that question first. Who is the most important person in the world, Tippi?
Who is the most important person in the world? I think that's one of the most important questions, because if you don't identify that, then really it's a great way to start. But I happen to have read a lot of the stuff that you wrote, so I know that the most important in the world, person in the world is you. And it makes
yourself,
so much
you.
Sense. Yeah.
Exactly. So imagine now you wake up in the morning and you dedicate your first hour to the most important person in the world. Imagine how your life can change. So what I did is, instead of waking up at 7 o'clock, I started to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I call it Bob time. It's my power hour. And between 6 and 7, I do something to help Bob get where Bob wants to go. It could be goal reviews. It could be setting goals. It could be visualization, meditation. There's a number of different things I do. Now, here is the secret to it all. And this is basically the bottom line to discipline. Discipline, I define it as it's a commitment to the most important person in the world. It means doing what you have to do, even when you don't want to do it. But here's the clicker. If you do it, you always have to reward yourself. Any behavior that gets recognized or rewarded gets repeated. So what we want to do is set ourselves up so that we're constantly recognizing and rewarding the appropriate behaviors we demonstrate. So 6 to 7 a.m. is Bob time. Come 7 a.m., what do you think my reward is?
Not a cup of coffee.
My first cup of coffee. And now, because it's my first cup of coffee, I've earned it, I enjoy it, and as I drink that cup of coffee, I give thanks for the fact that I can have a cup of coffee when there's millions of people around this world who can't get a clean glass of water. And I realize how fortunate I am. And then from 7 to 8, I exercise. I go for a walk, I'll snowshoe, I'll do whatever I can, or go for a swim. And then at 8 o'clock, I reward myself with breakfast. Then I go do a seminar or a presentation at 9 o'clock. How do you think I feel? How do you think I'm going to perform? The bottom line is this. You can't give something to somebody else if you don't have it inside to give away. And that's why it's so important to go back and reflect on ourselves and start from the inside out. And that's the biggest problem today, is too many people are living their lives from the outside in. And they're governed by everything on the outside world, and they don't take the time for the most important person in the world and learning and performing from the inside out.
So do you meditate?
Yes, I do.
Because I found that no matter where I go, no matter who I talk to, if it's somebody that helps other people, if it's somebody that's really living a passion, somehow, somewhere along the line, meditation is in there. It's like one of those ingredients, the basic foundation that really makes a huge difference. Is it something that you do naturally, or did you have to find out that it works for you?
Well, I was a teenager when I first got exposed to the powers of the mind, and it was at that point where I learned about meditation, and I also learned about how to use the mind to help heal other people. And the meditation I do is a lot of, it's relaxation, but before, you can't help yourself without first helping somebody else. So
I thought it was the other way around. You can't help somebody else without first helping yourself.
Okay, well, I guess in the way I meditate is I first help somebody else in my mind. If they're ill or whatever, like I can remember one incident where, I identified, someone had a hearing problem out of their left ear. In my mind, I basically took out a scalpel, took out their left ear, put in a new left ear, put white light on it, healed them, this sort of thing. And then I went on with my needs. But by helping somebody else first, by giving first, the chances, it's just the way that I went. Now, I've been through various forms of meditation, and the best thing about them all is, one, you're relaxed and you're focused. And it just creates a whole new buzz on your day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have one of the callers, and what he's saying, and I think that's one of the things that people will say, and I don't want to put callers on right now, but he's saying that everything that you say is great, but that's for people who have the time and the luxury to do this. And what would you tell him?
You'll never find the time to do what you want to do. You have to make the time. That's why I was very busy starting up my business and up at 7 having a coffee and getting right into things. Then I realized my productive time, and if I spent time on me, bang, I reversed it. And within 5 years, I met my goals. And, when I look at my business for 10 years now, being in the world's top 10 for the last 10 years, it, to me, has been unbelievable. But it all goes back to, if I was to give credit to it, there was two words that I always give credit to. One, I took control of my attitude. I own it. I take care of it. I'm not going to let any garbage in. I controlled my attitude. That's one. The other one is I'm very disciplined. I do what I say I'm going to do. As a matter of fact, I went as far as speaking to audiences around the world, even as many as 10,000 people in Singapore, and I told them all that anybody attending my sessions is entitled to free email coaching and that I would reply within 24 hours. For years on end, I replied to all emails within 24 hours, and I still do to this day. I just don't broadcast it as much. Mm-hmm. Now, that takes discipline.
That's one of the things I love about you, is the fact that you are still there, so with it, and you don't really have to be at this point, and still people
no,
have so much
My wife would like it if I just retired 100%. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a hard time with that, because I did 4 years ago, and then what happened was is I got ranked number 4 as a sales guru, and I got approached by a company to put all my sales training online, and I did that. So for the last 4 years, I've reduced my travel considerably, and now I just made myself more affordable and more accessible by having online training. And that's made a big difference to, you know, I've got a lot more followers, but it's reduced my workload and my travel, and I stay home a lot more and enjoy my family more.
So you kind of like semi-retired or... I
would say semi-retired would be a better description than retired. And you know what? I don't ever want to stop doing what I'm doing. I love the speaking. Mm-hmm. I love helping people, coaching them. I don't want to run a business anymore. And
right.
This is where I now have a CEO in Australia running Velocity Selling. And you know, I'm basically there to coach him or help him. And really what I'm out to help other people grow their businesses and improve their lives. And that's it. I'm not running the business anymore. I'm very accessible and I love to help people.
Yeah. But to tell you the truth, your semi-retired looks like full-time work to a lot of other people, if not most people.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, you know, I don't need to do this financially. I'm okay for the rest of my life. I don't have any debt. I've surpassed all my dreams. And, Tippi, this is a big challenge I find, particularly in the business world, is most people don't think about their exit strategy. And when's enough enough? I set goals for myself. All my goals were set around age 50. I accomplished them all. I surpassed them all. And then 2 years later, I had a bad accident, and I broke my femur in 5 places. I was told I'd never be able to walk again. In the meantime, what they did is they ended up putting a pin through my knee, a plate up the side, and 15 screws to hold it together. People used to say I was screwed up. Now it's official. But the thing is, during that year, it took me 1 year to learn how to walk again. I'm back to normal. Everything's fine. But during that 1 year, I reflected a lot. And that year was I realized, you know what, I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. And then I kind of surrendered. Take me where you want, when you want, how you want. Bring people into my life that I could help. I leave it to you. You've helped me, and now I let the world take me where it wants to take me. It sounds kind of crazy, but I've been a big goal setter. I've accomplished all my goals. But now I've kind of like pulled back on that. I've accomplished what I've wanted. Now it's not about me. It's how to make this world a better place.
I think one of the things that the benefit of someone telling you you'll never walk again is being able to really reflect, because you can't really do much else at that point.
Yeah.
But
this was a wake-up call for me. This was a big wake-up call.
Yeah. What happened to you? Why did they say that you'll never walk again? Were you in an accident? Were you
if sick? I recall, it was just after 9/11, and I was off to Singapore, and I had 18 engagements lined up, and I was going on a 6-week trip. And if you remember, after 9/11, large gathering stops, people were scared of flying. Well, all 18 got canceled, and I ended up coming back home early. And my son was tearing down these square log beam buildings and asking me if he can help, because all his friends have jobs during the week. And I said, sure, I'll go up and help you. And we were in the bush basically 2-3 days. And it was on the third day, and I was taking tin off the roof. And I stepped on the ladder, and the ground was frozen, and the ladder gave way, and I went down with the ladder.
Ooh, and so that was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my son, I called him, and he came running over to me, and he was taking a ski patrol class. And he looked at me, he says, oh, my God, you broke your femur. I was told I'd never witness this in my life, and here you are, my first patient.
Oh, God.
He knew what to do, and he basically saved my life by, you know, pulling my leg straight, maintaining my pulse, and everything else, and it all worked out well.
Wow, it's... When they told you that you'll probably never walk again, what was going through your mind?
I didn't know how to react. I first thing was, I didn't believe it. and I actually started Xing it out. I have this technique: whenever you think negative or get negative news, put a red X between you and that message. Like, don't let it enter. Just block it out. And I do that a lot. It's part of the way I've trained my mind. But I X'd it out in this particular case, and I'm in a way happy I did, because I am walking, and you would never know I you know, had a broken leg in five places.
Wow. I can relate, because they told me I'd never walk again. So I was wondering how somebody else would have reacted to it. And I didn't have that black it out system, but I guess I blacked it out. I don't know how, but I did black it out, because otherwise I would never have walked. If I would have done what they told me to do, which was get used to being on a wheelchair, you may never walk again.
Isn't it something, Tippy, how we allow, again, the external influences, the outside world, tell us what we can do and what we can't do, but yet many people get so influenced by that that they take it as it's the way it is. It's like, I can remember graduating high school and my principal saying to me I wasn't going to amount to anything because I can't speak or write proper English.
Oh, God.
And, of course, I go, who is this guy? He's supposed to be, you know, building me up, and here he is tearing me down. And I rejected him back then. And here it is, I met him at a wedding about 5-10 years ago, and of course I had 2 or 3 books out at that time, and, you know, I had some books and gave, he couldn't believe it. And then I reminded him of what he said, and he says, no, I didn't say that, did it? And I said, you did. And you know how that has an impact on young people, and if anything, if you don't have something positive to say about people, don't say it.
That's right, exactly, especially as an educator, for God's sake.
Oh,
I mean,
it blew me away.
Yeah, lucky for you, you were able to black it out. Unfortunately, kids don't have those kind of skills most of the time. Of course, there's always exception. And so
well,
they
one
say,
of the
okay.
things I did, I created a couple of tools. One was a, it's sort of like a red elastic band that you put on your wrist. And when you talk negative to yourself, or you're first, you got to be aware of what you're saying or what you're thinking. And then once you're aware and you hear yourself calling negative, you take this elastic band and you slap yourself. And that wakes you up and then stops it, and then you replace it with a positive. The other one is just the red X, where you know something negative is coming across. Put up, visualize that red X and just stop it before it gets near you.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like a little bit of NLP with.
Yes, there's some that helps.
I do. I like NLP a lot, but I think it's something that comes naturally. Once I decided that I wasn't going to be paralyzed, whether the doctors liked it or not, everything changes in your brain, and you realize that really your life does not have to depend on what's going on around you on the outside. And it sounds that you did that at a very young age, and that's why you were able to really accomplish all your goals. So a lot of people that are listening really want to be able to accomplish all their goals before they're 50. And so the 1 hour in the morning, the power hour for yourself, I think is a huge, huge step towards that.
Yes.
Because like every day you said, like taking care of yourself. And then I love the rewarding yourself with a cup of coffee, because it motivates you to do it.
Now, we also have
We also have
a great forum that could help people become more disciplined and do the things they want to do. We call it a monthly monitor chart. And the monthly monitor chart basically has the numbers 1 to 31 across the top. Down the left-hand side, it has a number of different things. It starts out with, like, goals. Did I review my goals morning, noon, and night? So goal review a.m., p.m., and then when you go to sleep. And what you do, if you review your goals, give yourself a check mark. If you didn't do it, you leave it blank. Then you have some affirmations, like, I will talk positive to myself. I will, listen empathetically, etc. And you check them off. And then the bottom part, you have an area where you identify 3 goals for the month and 3 actions that you could do on a daily basis for each goal. For example, I want to lose 5 pounds. Well, what are 3 things you can do? 7 glasses of water, exercise 30 minutes, no dessert. And as you do these things, you check it off. Now, they say that if you do something for 21 consecutive days, it becomes a habit. This form gives you the positive reinforcement and make it happen, and it works really well on New Year's resolutions as well. And basically, it's a check mark. It's an affirmation system. And if you get 25 out of the 31 check marks, you've mastered it. It also, if you don't get that, helps you clarify your thinking. Why am I not doing it? What must I change? What must I do differently to get myself there? So it's a great tool to help people get through New Year's resolutions, for setting goals, etc. And we provide it free of charge. As a matter of fact, all you have to do is go to bobyou.com, free resources, and you'll see documents. There's a goal log there that takes you step by step on how to create goals, from being smart to being what do you see, what do you feel, what do you hear, how to overcome obstacles, all kinds of things. There's a goal log, a goal chart, and the monthly monitor chart, which will help people enormously in that area.
And so, yeah, bobyou.com. And I love that website because Bob You can have more than one meaning other than your name.
That's like, right. That's
Bob
right.
You today, okay? I love the play with words that you do. Did you think of that, or was it just that that's your initial, Bob and you?
It was initial. I thought, it's Bob Yurichuk. People can't pronounce that name. How can I simplify it? So I created bobyou.com, and this is going back over 20 years, and I was fortunate because it's a tough one to get today. And I went with bobyou.com, and that kind of became the brand because as I traveled the world, everyone was calling me Mr. Bob, but nobody can pronounce my last name. So they would say, well, what's your name? And I say bobyou.com. So they got it. Some people take it as Bob University or, whatever, but I like it. It's a great website.
Bob U, Bob University, and Bob U, and it could be a lot of different things. But I think your last name is very easy to pronounce. Yuri is...
Well, it is for people of, our culture, let's say. But for a lot of Asians, it's whoa. They just can't.
Application.
But you don't get many last names starting with U or W or, Y. And I think just those letters starting a name sort of throws people off.
Yeah, even a first name. My brother's name was Yuri. It was Uri, but we spelled it U-R-I. And
yes.
That was a very unusual first letter for a name.
Yeah. It, no Y, though, eh?
No, why?
Okay, no, I've seen it with a Y as well.
Oh, Y-U,
Yeah, Y-U-R-I, which is Yuri as well.
Right, his name was U-R-I.
Yeah.
That's the way they transliterated it. But it was really, Uri,
okay. Because I think, my father came over in 1916, sorry, he was born in 1908, came over in 1916 from the Austrian Empire when the plague was going through. He'd lost his brothers and sisters, and he managed to come across with his mother and father. And his name was Yuri Siak, and they translated it into Yurichuk.
Yeah, they do that for you. They automatically give you a translation, and then you live with that for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did that to me also. I came here when I was 12. And my name does not, one of the letters in my name does not exist in English at all.
Oh,
they
wow.
changed my name. Because there's a lot of sound in Chinese that doesn't exist in English, in Russian, it doesn't exist in English.
That's right.
A lot of languages. And when the sound doesn't exist, they just make up a letter and they decide that that's what that is. And it's not, but it's as close as it's going to get. So you kind of live with that. So that's it. So we have the first hour in the morning. I think that's a great routine. But then...
And of course, it's also ending your day with recognizing what you've accomplished today and doing a simple to-do list for the next day of knowing, what tomorrow is going to bring and sleeping on that with positive expectations. Because I find a lot of times you will get some great ideas when you're at the most relaxed moment. For example, in the book, Discipline for Life, when I was writing it, I gave myself a deadline and I was pretty disciplined. I would come into my office at 5 in the morning, locked in till 10 in the morning every day and do it because I had this deadline. But I had a problem. I had 11 chapters done and I don't like odd numbers and I wanted to end on a positive or a 12, another chapter. And I kept scratching my head, and I said, geez, I'm missing something. And then I finally said, I'm going to sleep on this. When I went to bed that night, sleeping on it, I woke up in the middle of the night. My wife thought I had a heart attack because I jumped out of bed, and I said, I got it. That's the perfect one. And then when I brought it to my publisher and editor, you know, they were thinking, well, maybe it should be the first one. And I said, no, it came last. I think it's the most important. We're going to save it to last. And the last discipline is being thankful, recognizing what you've got, recognizing the friends, the family, that you're able to eat, and you don't know how good you got it until you go elsewhere and see that they don't have it. And it's funny, as I travel the world, and you've probably seen the same, Tippi, we go to countries, let it be Sri Lanka or you know, Pakistan or anywhere in the world, Bangladesh even, you see these people, they have nothing, but they have one thing that most of the people in our environment don't have, and that's a smile from ear to ear. It seems the least you have, the happier you are. The more you have, the more you want, and the sadder you are. And what people need to do is just be thankful for what they got. Don't complain about your job. Be thankful you've got a job. You know, these are the things, and you don't know how good you've got it until you go elsewhere and see it and live
it's
it.
True.
And then you come
it's
back
true.
Appreciative.
That's
one of the greatest
really
lessons of travel, I find, is realizing how good you've got and how thankful, how much you've got to be thankful for. And as I mentioned earlier, being thankful is not just being thankful. It's about giving back and making a difference in other people's lives, whether it be putting a smile on their face or helping them in whatever way you can.
Yeah, there's two things that you said that I think are really important. And one of those things I definitely experienced, one of my travels, I drove through the entire Mexico country. And those little towns, they have babies who, from lack of nutrition, have a swollen stomach. And they run around town laughing, playing as if they have everything. And that's so inspirational for someone like us to drive into that town and to see my 2-year-old baby will cry and scream because I don't buy her a stupid little toy. And this kid has everything.
Exactly.
And they're so happy. And so that's one way of looking at it. But in the other hand, I don't want to be grateful for having shoes until I see somebody that has no feet. I want to be.
You
I want
got
to
it. There's the quote.
Pain.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
definitely want to have. And I think the way to start that is if you start the routine the way you described it in the morning, you start with that power hour, and then the whole day you kind of live with that kind of expectation, with positive expectations.
That's right. That's right. Because you've conditioned your mind, you know where your focus is. And you wait, and if particularly if you spend the time reviewing your goals 3 times a day, you stay focused on that, and you don't let all these distractions take you away from it. And guess what? You start to value time more, and you get what I call ROTI, a better ROTI, better return on time invested. People think money is what this is all about. It's not about the money. Money comes and money goes. All we have here is a certain amount of time on this in this world, and we have to make the most out of our time. And that's why I'm always talking about ROTI, getting a return on time invested. If you're going to do something, ask yourself, how can I get the best ROTI out of this? And amazing.
ROTI, you went too fast with the ROTI. Could you go back and describe the ROTI? Because I think this is so, so important for people to hear what that is.
Well, roti, the way I define roti is R-O-T-I. It's not the roti prata bread you get in India, even though I love it. But, you know, roti, R-O-T-I, return on time invested.
Mm-hmm.
People are always looking for ROI, return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all we have of really any essence is time. Like I say, money comes, money goes. We only have time, and time only goes one way. It disappears on us. So we have to always be looking for ways to get the maximum return on our time invested. So how you spend your time is very important. And that's a big part of goals and the process we set out with the monthly monitor chart, is so that you get a better control of time and you organize yourself accordingly. You know yourself, for example, during the day there are certain times where you need to be there for your family. And what we need to be there is 100%. We're not on the cell phone, not on the computer. We have to be there for them 100%. It's, for example, when everyone's sleeping, I'm up and I'm doing my work in the morning. It doesn't interfere with anybody. No distractions. And that's a beautiful thing about 6 in the morning. And then, of course, I'll check my emails around 9 o'clock and clean up, you know, for the day. But then I'll go back to it mid-afternoon, not in between. I'm working on other projects because when I get into something, I stay focused. And I, as much as I'm good at multitasking, I try to avoid multitasking when there's other people around. When I'm on my own, I'm okay. but I don't like to waste other people's time while I'm doing something for myself. In other words, when people are with you, you got to be with them, and that's your
right.
Moment.
Right.
It's like quite often I play. It's not a joke. I walk into restaurants and I see four people on their phones.
Yes.
And I'll walk over to their table and I'll just say, excuse me, are you guys texting each other? Why don't you try speaking face-to-face? And I know they're not talking to each other, but, you know, they're talking to somebody else. You're here. You're be present. It's, you know, it's like Eckhart Tolle's book, Be in the Now. And, you know, and people are missing that. They're so caught up in their technology that they're missing life.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised how many teenagers sit on the couch and literally text to each other.
That's right.
Because they're not talking. But I think you touched on something really, really powerful, which is time, return on time investment, because most people don't realize that on a constant basis is the time is one of our most precious resources.
Exactly.
It's one of those resources
exactly.
that once it's gone forever, you know,
yeah.
not like money. And so,
well, it's funny you mentioned that, Tippi, because I usually discuss Rhodey in our sales programs, because what we've done is we created a non-traditional selling system. Traditional sales is all about, you know, the way it has always been. And what we've done is we created something that's buyer-focused. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about your commission. It's not about your brand. It's not about your product. It's about the buyer. And in this process, what we've done is we've managed to shorten sales cycles from the time of meeting a client to empowering them to buy. It's a lot shorter than going through all the talk and wasting of time, because that's the number one complaint about salespeople is they waste people's time. So what we've managed to do is we created a full system, and a lot of the stuff we're talking about is in the system because we start with the foundation. The foundation is you. Everything revolves around you. Do you believe in yourself? So the first part is all about attitude, and we break out down attitude into three parts: attitude towards yourself, attitude towards your organization, and attitude towards your buyers. Then we look at behavior, B, personal goals, corporate goals, and then how do you target and attract buyers. Then we look at competencies, how to be buyer-focused, how to engage buyers, and how to empower buyers. And then we put them through the system where the first thing you do, it's not about a sale, it's about building a relationship. The more relationships you have, the bigger your network. The bigger your network, the bigger your net worth.
That makes a lot of sense.
Would you not agree on that one?
Absolutely.
I mean,
so if somebody wants to, because I think a lot of people that are listening right now say, wow, this sounds so good. I really want to get my hands on that. Where do they go and what do they do? Because
Go to velocityselling.com. Velocityselling.com. Now, Tippi, as I traveled the world, people would pay me crazy fees for one-day seminars. They would pay business class travel and all my expenses, and I've done well with it. But what I found was I was beyond the average person. I was not accessible because I was so expensive. And this is when we went online, I realized, you know, you record it once. Now I can make myself so affordable and to everybody. And I decided, let's go the extra yard and let's put out 7-day free trial offer so that anybody, even if they can't afford it, can at least look at it. And we only charge like $70 a month or a cup of coffee a day. And it's a year-long program because one of the things I didn't like about my profession is keynotes and one-day sales training does not change people. Everything's forgotten within 7 to 30 days. And I believe in continuous learning. And with putting it online, we managed to make it continuous learning. So it's one-on-one interactive video. And it goes about anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes in length. And then I have you do workbook exercises. And then from the workbook exercises, it's real-life application. And then you pass a test. When you pass the test, you move on to the next module and the next one. And it takes anywhere, I would say on average, about 6 months to complete the training, or to a year. And it's we usually like to look at is a continuous sales training program that goes on for a year. And let's face it, sales is the bottom line. Everybody needs it. And what we've done is we have some papers to help people understand it. They could download our free white paper titled The New Economy of Buyers, Why Traditional and Consultative Selling No Longer Works, and why we have to be focused on the buyer. So a free trial offer, all you have to do is go to velocityselling.com. You'll see endorsements from Brian Tracy, Jack Canfield. These are people that, you know, have reviewed the program, approved it, highly recommend it. And then you could sign up for a 7-day free trial offer. There's no credit card asked for. There's no details. And you start and you cruise around. We often suggest people start at the beginning with attitude, because if you don't have a good solid foundation to work on, there's no sense learning techniques. And these techniques here are more communication skills, you know, asking questions, listening, and the process. And it's quite interesting, and I think people will enjoy it. Other than that, they can also go to bobyou.com and download a free chapter of Velocity Selling. Or I believe Amazon, a lot of the bookstores are carrying Velocity Selling. The book is available as an ebook, soft copy, and hard copy.
Mm-hmm. So, Dad, you throw so much, it almost like it blows your mind on how much you can get just from step one, just the foundation. Do you believe in yourself? That in itself is a life changer without even going.
Oh, yeah, we take them through so many different exercises in that. And we talk, give an example, we talk about knowing your rights. Discipline for life, the first chapter is know your rights as a human being. And we explain 10 rights. Well, in sales, I've taken 3 of them and I've expanded on them. Like, for example, do you have the right to fail, Tippi?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, and you notice my style is I don't like to tell people answers. I like to engage people so that they come up with the answers and say they own it. We call this a self-discovery process. You might say I'm following my sales system in the way that I speak. Because here's the thing, if I tell you... Well,
yes,
you
are, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, no, but if I'm telling you, you have the right to fail... I own that answer. But if I ask you, do you have the right to fail? And you say, well, yes. And then we have a conversation about it, and I help you discover why. Well, it changes your whole perspective.
Well, yeah, so, but you already gave me the breakdown of the word fail, which means first time.
A first attempt in learning.
First attempt in learning. So if you ask me, do you have the right to fail? After you said that, of course I have the right to fail. That's the first attempt.
Well, I didn't. So. I didn't put it in my usual context. But here's the thing, just on fail, because it's a good one for people to understand this. First of all, we don't have the courage we had when we were kids because of the outside pressures it put on us. We came into this world as perfect tens, all equal human beings, regardless of race, religion, color, nationality, sex, title, or role. We get exposed to religion, to family, to education. We take the outside world, we internalize it, and we've become the person we've created. Nobody to blame but ourselves. We're either our worst enemy or we're our best friend. And what's happened here is we have this fear now, fear of failure, because society says you shouldn't fail. Yet, how do you learn? The best learning experience is not success, it's failure. And so what I did at age 22 is I realized I lost the first 20 years of my life. I was born in a small family business. I didn't have a childhood. I helped my parents in their business since I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I lost my teenage years. I had a bad case of acne, lost all my confidence and everything. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was 18 that I looked in the mirror and started to live my life from the inside out, realizing that, you know, my face is pretty ugly and full of zits, but you know what? I don't look at it. It's not my problem. It's their problem. And I started to build myself up from the inside. At 22, I realized I had catching up to do. I could do like everyone else and think about it. And what happens when we think about it? Fear sets in. With fear comes indecision. With indecision comes procrastination. With procrastination comes paralysis, and we don't do a darn thing. So what's the opposite of thinking about it? Just do it. And that's my biggest problem is I don't think enough. I just do it. Now, here's the difference. I fail a lot. And at age 22, I gave myself permission to have 10 learning opportunities a day. In other words, permission to fail 10 times a day. So I go out and I try things and I do things and I fail at them. But here's the thing. I don't beat myself up and criticize myself for it. I build myself up. I look for what was the lesson learned here. The minute I got the lesson learned, I'm tapping myself on the back. Good stuff, Bob. At least you tried something you never did before. You got a lesson out of it. Keep up the good work. And that's how I built my self-confidence and my self-esteem. And I believe in me. And that's what people have to do. They have to get over these external influences. Get over your fears. Fear is another one. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
It's only real in your mind. And the only way to get over a fear is to face it.
Exactly. Feel the fear and do it anyway. I think that was one of...
That's another quote, yep.
Anthony... It definitely was Tony Robbins. Definitely one of his Walk on Fire seminars.
Yeah.
That we did together before. He had 2,000 people in each meeting that he has. But you really are getting me excited for today. I can't wait to start the day. I can't wait to start trying to fail today. And so I can imagine that everybody that is listening feels the same way. And
yeah.
And you're right, we lost the courage that we had as kids. So how do we get that courage back for people who have been lost in that fear and have been there for a while? And I don't know if you can relate to that because you haven't been there. But if you talk to someone that has been afraid to stand up for everything and you try to basically just have them open the door, not even walk through the door, what would be the first thing that you would do to them and to help them walk through the door, other than smile and say, hi, where's your courage?
Well, in the book, Discipline for Life, we have some exercises. By the way, Discipline for Life is an interactive book. It's not a read book. It's a to-do book. I tell you some stories and I do it. We have some in there, some forms, and it's about fear. What are your fears? We get people to lift their fears. And then each fear, we break it down and we ask simple questions. This fear has prevented you from doing what? We try to help you identify the root of the fear and then put a plan together on what do you need to do to overcome this fear.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
by asking questions, we help people discover the answers for themselves and then take the appropriate actions to make it happen. And this is usually what we do when we're coaching people as well, is try to get down, try to find the root of it. What can they do differently, and then to make those steps. Because let's face it, if you don't take action, if you don't take the first step, you're not going anywhere. It's in the doing that things get done, not in the thinking.
So basically, it's velocityselling.com and bobyou.com, and that's where you'll find it. But I have to ask you something about that book, Discipline for Life. When I saw that title, Discipline for Life, I totally fell in love with it. It's not like one of those titles that get disciplined. If you read this, you'll get more disciplined, or declutter, you'll get more disciplined. It's such an amazing, powerful title. And I have to know how you came up with it, because I don't get titles that I fall in love with every day. And I do books. Well, I even do a show just on books.
Well, it's funny how it did come about, because I'm going back about 25 years ago. I was put on an adult learning course, and I was a trainer in the corporate world. And it must have been about 10 or 15 of us that went on this three-week program. And I got a diploma in adult learning, and everybody did a training program on a product in the company, and I did one on self-motivation. And I didn't know what to call it, but I started delivering it in-house at lunch and learns and different things. And it was all about goal setting and finding yourself. And then when I became a speaker, within, I left the corporate world at my choice at age 45, six-digit job, basically to travel the world and make a difference in the world. So I came across somebody, his name appeared in front of me three times in the same day. And when something like that happens, I take action on it. It's meant to be. So I contacted him. He turned out to be in the neighborhood. He was an international speaker, and we chatted a bit. And basically, I said, I want to get into this business, but I need to appear as if I've been here 5 years. And he said, okay, well, write a book. So right away, I sat down, I wrote the book. But what I did is I took my training program, my self-motivation training program that I created, and I wrote around it, the stories, and I turned it into a book so that it became a, call it a self-discovery process. When we started the book, the first title, I think I called it The 12 Disciplines to Live in the Life of Your Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Master Self-Motivation and Leadership, something like that. And it was a mm-hmm. black cover. I took action. I got feedback. Black wasn't inspiring. You know, there were different things. Then I changed it again. I had a publisher I worked with, and this way, and then online became a buzzword. And this would have been early 2000 or 1999 sort of thing. And so we went with Online for Life, the 12 Disciplines for Living Your Dreams. And then after that selling out, and then I was, you know, I wanted to do an upgrade, so I put in more stuff into it. And then we played around with title, and that's where we came up with Discipline for Life, You Are the Author of Your Future. Because the book helps you author your future.
Right.
And, of course, discipline is, we have always, my publisher picked up on it. Yes, Bob, you're always talking about discipline. Why don't we call it Discipline for Life? And I've never thought of it. It was her suggestion. And I thought it was a great title, Discipline for Life, You Are the Author of Your Future, because you're actually writing in the book.
Yeah, that is an amazing title, and exactly like you described, it's not something that came overnight in your sleep, which could have been, but it's something that you actually build into.
Oh.
It kind of wrote itself out.
Well, it's funny. When I was 18, I got exposed to the powers of the mind, and we were involved. It's called network marketing today, or multi-level marketing. At that time, it was known as pyramid sales. And the company closed down. I lost about $3,000, and so did a buddy of mine. But a lot of people lost. I would say out of the 40 people that I knew of that lost, 38 were really mad, upset, ripped off. Two of us, John and I, walked away positive, saying, this is the greatest stuff we've ever learned in our life. It's going to produce millions. And it was at that time that my secret desire was to become a speaker trainer. But, I got caught up in the corporate world. I got caught up in a lot of things, family and business failures and all kinds of stuff and rebuilding. And it was always my inner desire. But when I took a job at age 30 after a business failure, I asked myself, why am I here? And I asked this question to people all over the world. Why do you go to work? And the answer I always get is, what do you think, Debbie?
I need to make money. I need to work. I have
you
no choice.
You got it. And I said, okay, that's the answer I get from everybody. But here's the technique we teach in sales. Never accept somebody's first answer. Their first answer is never the truth, not even to yourself. I know you're telling me the truth, Tippy, but let's go further. You go to work to make money. Make money to do what? And then I question those answers, and the real reason you go to work is because inside you, you have a certain lifestyle that you want to live. And what you have to understand is work is nothing but a stepping stone to helping you get where you want to go. The problem, though, in society is most people don't know where they want to go. They can't think of next week and what they want to accomplish, let alone 10, 20, 30 years from now. How do they want to retire? When I was 22, I defined I wanted to retire at 50. And here's what it looked like. Here's what I want to do. Here's the path I want to follow. It wasn't until I was 45 that I left the corporate world after 15 years with an index pension plan, six-digit salary, and I took this risk and became a trainer. But within 5 years, thanks to taking control of my attitude and being disciplined, I accomplished what I want to accomplish, because had I remained, I would not have accomplished what I wanted at age 50. It was working against me,
Bob,
not for me.
Yeah, but like you said, most people don't know where they want to go because most people are not you. And so since we're running out of time,
But most people are not taking the time. They're not taking the time to reflect inward and ask themselves, what do you want out of life? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? At age 22, I called in to work sick. I took out a pad of paper, and I sat down at the table and said, Bob, what do you want out of life? What do you want to be? Let's pretend this pen is a magic wand. Anything you write down can become a reality, but if it's not written down, it'll never happen. So let's start writing. 24 hours is what I gave myself. I slept on it, added more. Next morning, I'm driving to work. I get out of the car, and I held that pad of paper up to the sky, and I said, this is all I want out of life. Now, there's a lot of other things I did after that, and this is all explained in the book, but I'd lost that pad of paper after about 6 months, or that booklet of paper. And 18 years later, I find it in a move. What do you think I'm going through now? I'm reading it. Been there, done that. Haven't done this yet, but it's still part of my plan. So anybody could take 24 hours and write down everything they want to be, do, and have. Anybody can do that.
Yeah, and that's why we're here, letting people, motivating them to go ahead and do that. And I'm asking you because we're running out of time with the hour.
Yes.
Because we're not doing live, we do have more time that we can chat if you do have the time, because I do, but...
I can too. I mean, I just got to go and get my snow tires changed.
Oh, okay, good. So So I just wanted you kind of to wrap up, because you touched on so many different things, so many different powerful things. Like, each one of the subjects that you touched on is a subject and an hour by itself.
Yeah.
So if you can summarize the most important thing, if when someone listens to the show at the end of it, what would be the first thing they do other than run to the internet and buy Discipline for Life? Because I would definitely want to know how I Discipline for Life. But
you know what?
What action?
Let me put it, okay. So let me put in a little Christmas bonus in the spirit of giving as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do this, but we're going to start by, I guess, emailing me. I'll give it anybody who wants. I'll provide a free ebook. It's a PDF of Discipline for Life, the complete book.
Well,
all they
got
to do is ask.
That's such a generous offer.
But here's the thing: they got to ask. Now
they got to ask.
They're
not going to just send it out. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, Tippi. Why don't people ask more often? Do we have the right to ask first?
Yes.
Okay, we have the right to ask. Why don't people ask more often?
They're afraid they're going to get no.
Okay, so here's the thing. In Asia, you heard them say, I don't want to lose face, so they don't ask.
Right.
In the meantime, if you don't ask, you're causing yourself to lose face. Because if I ask, what are the odds of getting a yes and what are the odds of getting a no?
50-50.
Exactly. So if I ask, am I not better off by 50%?
Sure, because if you don't ask, the answer is always no, obviously.
Exactly. You get no. If you ask, you got a 50% chance of getting a yes. So am I not better off asking than not asking? That's number one. Number two, if I get a no, did I lose anything?
Right.
Obviously, I didn't lose anything, because how can you lose something you never had in the first place? So you're better off to ask. And this
but
is
what
not
about
new.
What about losing face? What about if somebody's brought up with it?
Are you losing face? Are you really losing face?
Not in the United States, but like you said, a lot of places in the Orient, losing face is a big thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends how you ask. And it's, again, it goes back to fear. It depends whether you have the confidence or not. But we're
mm-hmm.
talking simple asking, yes, no answer. Getting a no is fine. You know,
right.
And you can answer that. Is that no for now or no forever? And the person will say, usually no for now. And then you can say, okay, when is now going to be over?
So that I can
I'm
ask
just
again,
with
right?
You there.
No,
so here's the thing.
Yeah.
This has been around for over 2,000 years. We have the right to ask. ASK, you know what it stands for. Everybody knows what it stands for, but rarely do they get it. A stands for ask. And when you ask, you will?
Receive. Ask and you
S
will
stands
receive.
For? Seek and you will find. K stands for, and the door will be open. When was the last time you sat down with the most important person in the world and asked that person, what do you want out of life? Because only when you know what you want out of life can you go seeking. And it's in this seeking that the doors of opportunity come right in front of you. And then you have to have the courage to ask or knock. You don't ask, you don't get. You don't knock, the door's not going to be open. Now, I didn't create ask. It's been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious and it's so powerful. And people have to gain the courage to ask. And I've always been one to fulfill. When people have the courage to ask, I give. So send me an email, bob@bobu.com, and ask for the ebook Discipline for Life.
So let's give them a time limitation. How about if we do it within the next, by the end of the year? If they have to ask you by the end of the year, by New Year's Eve.
I'm going to back it up a little bit, because they need to get into it at this time of the year. They really need to work it so that they can start the new year right. So let's go between now and December 25th.
Christmas. Between now and Christmas. But this won't air this won't air until next week, Monday. So
was that enough time?
Not enough time.
Okay. But let's make it the end of the year, if you like. I'm okay with that.
Okay, that sounds good. And that's a great way to conclude such a powerful talk. And I can see that this is just off the cuff, and I can imagine that your talks are probably multiplied by the thousands stronger than it is what we just had a conversation. And this was enough really to get me really excited. I can't wait. I'm still in bed, but I can't wait to get out and start my day, because It's been so motivational. And the truth is, the morning routine that you described, I've gotten four different texts telling me, that's you, that's you. And yeah, it's me. I love to meditate in the morning. That's the first thing I do. But that little extra touch that you gave me here, even with what I do, and it's taken me a long time to develop that, it still makes it so much more powerful. First of all, rewarding myself at the end of the routine, that's big. After I take a walk, I can also have my other reward, which is something little that I enjoy doing. And without that reward, it still works, but it's not as powerful. And it's about
that's right.
being
And by the
powerful.
Way, just to add to it, Tippi, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, you punish yourself, mm-hmm. and you don't allow yourself to have that reward. If I miss my Bob time, I'm not allowed coffee. If I miss my exercise, I don't have breakfast. It's a double sword. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, of course, nobody ever wants to be punished. You want the rewards. So it sets you up discipline-wise to make sure you always do what you say you're going to do.
I love that.
In other words, it's a lot easier to do it than to not do it, because you suffer the consequences when you don't do it.
You just got a great idea. If you want to watch a movie, if you're really in the mood to go watch a movie, do something you always want to do before and reward yourself with that movie. And knowing that you cannot watch that movie afterwards is really motivating.
You got it. You want to go out for dinner. You want to buy yourself a new pair of shoes. You want to go to a movie. You want to go skiing. You want to play golf.
Anything.
Any of these things. Uh-huh. These are every one of these things are rewards to me. And I always, the things I love to do, yes, I could do them, providing I do something to earn it.
Exactly. Wow, this has been a power hour for sure. I might say to myself every morning, I reward myself with this after I'm done my morning routine. It's really powerful. I love the way you speak. And I could definitely understand how you definitely got to all your goals. And I think anybody that will follow it, anybody that will, even not the entire training, just the one with Discipline for Life in itself, they can actually accomplish their goals. And you're right. Another thing, if you don't know where you want to go, how are you ever going to get there?
Exactly.
Duh.
Exactly. It all starts with you and taking some time to explore yourself from the inside out. And like I say, it could be as simple as 12 hours or 24 hours or 1 week with an hour or two a day to define your life, because you are the author of your future. Nobody else is.
Exactly. And so there's no better way to end this conversation by saying, take the time to find out what you want out of life. And I love what you said. Let's pretend this pen is a magic wand, and let's start writing down, what do you want out of life? I think one of the saddest things in the world is true what you said, is that most people don't know where they want to go. And,
and this is
so
discipline
simple.
Number five in the book. It's all spelt out. People can easily do it. And then that's the thing, is people don't know where they want to go because they're too busy on social media, too busy on all the, on the now. And there's nothing wrong with living the now, but you need to know where you're going and plan for your future. And it's shocking to me how many people in their 40s and 50s are in the seminars, and they're shocked when they hear these things. And, geez, I'm going to retire in 10, 15 years, and I don't have a plan.
40s and 50s, what about 60s and 70s that still attend the seminar?
Well, they're too. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I walked into my house one day, and my 82-year-old step, which is my mother's husband, see, I didn't say retarded husband. I'm trying to be nice. So at 82, I walk into the house and I go, so what are you doing? He goes, I'm planning my future. I
That's
thought that
good.
Was great.
That is good.
So why not start at 18 so that by 82,
That's right.
the future is already planned? You don't have to
Well, you know, the funny thing about this is I met a gentleman in Dubai who teaches teenagers self-confidence and things like that. And I said to him, listen, why don't you take my book and review it and tell me what you think? He says, well, Bob, this is the kind of stuff I teach him. I said, okay, why don't you take this book and adapt it to the teenage market and make it available to them? And he said, well, what do you want out of it? I said, nothing. Just do it. Cover the expenses. Get it out there. And so we co-authored it. He basically put it out, and he's doing that. And I don't know how many people I've come across in my life where they say, Bob, I really like this book and I'd love to become an author. I said, well, You want to become an author? What language do you speak? Well, I am Italian. Okay, so why don't you take the book and translate it into Italian, adapt it to your culture, and put it out there.
He
did it. I've done this in Arabic, in French, in Italian, in Spanish, and all I want to do is just get the message out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the money. You know,
I get that. I get that from you, the sense of like, I really want to make a difference in your life. I'm happy. I have what I want and I'm happy. But the truth is, you have to admit that every time you see somebody with a success story that you contributed to, it contributes to your life a million times more than anything else would. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it is a selfish, but it's an amazing goal that is very selfish, but very empowering also to other people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people, you know, everybody has a different purpose. My purpose is, it's not about the money. I don't need the money. I can live the rest of my life. I don't need to do a thing. However, inside me, I know I could help a lot of people. And that's why we're giving away at least the ebook. You know, it's a lot of people like to do ebooks, but like I say, it's not a read book, it's a to-do book. And I don't want you to waste your time or my time asking me for something if you're not going to do it. You know, I don't mind giving
it
away.
Don't waste my time. That's what you're saying. Don't waste my time.
Don't waste your time either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And don't waste your time.
Take the time. You don't have to finish the book in a day. I don't want you to read it. I want you to do it. I want you to fill in the blanks and help yourself get where you want to go. So it's as simple as that. All you got to do is ask.
Exactly. And we can't ask for anything more, but I will ask you for something more because I just got a bunch of requests. And even though we're not doing it live, I did let the audience know that we are going to record now, but I got a bunch of requests to ask you for one more thing. Can I ask you for one more thing? They want you to come back and do a live show so that they have the opportunity to maybe ask you questions or take it further. We do broadcast live at 5:00 on Monday. Would it be possible to maybe schedule a Monday up in the future, maybe the beginning of
definitely.
Next year?
Yeah,
awesome.
I mean, it could be next Monday. It could be. I'm open to that. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, so
just
probably
give me
in
the
January.
Date, and we'll do it. And I don't have a problem doing one on discipline and motivation, and even one on sales, if you like, because I find these are the two basics that people need. Is you know, the discipline,
sales and
self motivation, and then of course the whole communication side and how to build relationships and how to empower people to buy. I think is very important.
Yeah, yeah. And so I love this, and I would like to really for everyone to take this away. And I'm just quoting you, let's pretend this pen is a magic wand. I love the idea of holding a magic wand because honestly it is a magic wand. You don't even have
it
to
is,
pretend.
It is because, you see, if you don't write it down, it never gets crystallized. And that's the first thing. If you want something bad enough, you got to write it down. That's where it starts.
Exactly. And so, Bob, I really would like to thank you so much. We've been talking to Bob Yurichuk. I know how to pronounce your name. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and you've been listening to Tippi Talk. And once again, I am so excited and so happy that you came to join us today and that you're coming back to join us, Bob.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me know when and where, and we'll do it. And also, if you have a link or something that I could share with our readers, I know we have a newsletter going out probably today or tomorrow. We could probably slip it in.
I will definitely send you a link today, later on today, with a little blip attached to it so you can send it out. Would love to have your people definitely take a look at it, especially listening to this. I'm going to call this my power hour, listening to you for a few weeks, because it's so inspirational that, and I really want people to get up and do something. I want people to change their life. I have so many of my clients tell me, but I'm not, you know, I'm being realistic. This is just not going to happen. I mean, this is realistic. I don't want you to be realistic. I want you to change this, change your reality and make it into a new realistic. So I will definitely send it to you today by midnight. And so that way you can have it go out tomorrow. Wonderful. Thank
Excellent.
You so much. Have a magical day.
You too, Tippi.
You are listening to Tippi Talk. My name is Tippi Feldenstein, and my guest today is Bob Yurichuk. He's an author, a speaker, and a motivator, and so much more.
Don't forget, if you wish to enjoy the amazing gift that he has offered for free today, which is a PDF copy of his book, Disciplined for Life, all you have to do is ask, and you shall receive by sending a request to the email bob@bobu.com. That's Bob at B-O-B-U, the letter U, .com. And you will receive this amazing book, which can be your companion. I would love for you to receive that book, to read that book, and to send me feedback. What do you think about it? This is a limited time offer, so you have to make sure that you send your request before the end of the year 2016.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra.